This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. We're going to be here broadcasting about sports over the next 5 hours. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander, I believe I just heard, might have some Friday energy over there as he's going to be off the next couple of days. How you feeling over there, buddy?
I was dragging ass to get here, bro. I had to put a whole lot of cups of coffees in my system just to get here.
Well, I hope you enjoy those days off, sir. Well deserved.
Thank you.
And we are also having video coordinated by Carter Freeman back there, 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Zach Wolchuk, that about does it as Eric Chiafalo remains on family time.
Man, today was the day. Today was snip day, boys.
Oh.
So I checked in with Eric this morning. I'm like, man, good luck. He goes, I'm in the waiting room right now. I know he was nervous. And then he texted me about 30 minutes later, said, actually, pretty easy. So
he's got fixed.
He's fixed.
All right.
He's fixed. Now we'll have to
wait
and see.
He's foaming at the mouth, though.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. I think he said he has to have several tries and attempts to get this thing 100%. They test it.
Yeah,
and all
the
that.
Pipes cleaned out.
Yeah, make sure that it actually worked. But our guy's successful.
What
as
does
of
that
right
mean?
Now.
What does that mean?
Well, you got to get 30 acts of completion after the snipping to make sure there's no swimmers left over there in the piping.
Nobody hides out.
Like self-practice or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, because
he'll give you a magazine, go to the bathroom.
He'll have it knocked out in 4 or 5 days.
This type of pressure, I don't know about that.
I don't know. But yeah, he had 3 kids faster than anybody I've ever seen.
No question.
I've seen 2 back-to-back, but he stacked them 3
in
very short order.
It was bad. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. I mean, I remember starting to try to have one baby, right?
Yeah.
And by the time our baby had arrived, he already had 2. And one of them was like 3 or 4 months old.
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, number 3 comes along and he's called it quits after that. So a really iconic girl dad. 3 in a row
there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
From
they're awesome.
Follow.
Salute
to him.
Love all 3 of the girls. Yeah. And he's got a saint for a wife.
Oh, yeah.
So shout out to Marion. She's fantastic. So hopefully he's got the peas over there on the junk, and you know we're not getting
that's
too swole.
That's what you do. Yeah, it's a tradition around March Madness for guys to do that and watch the basketball
frozen
games,
peas,
whatever it might be. Yeah, congrats to Japan for winning the World Baseball Classic in a final last night. Took long enough, 3-2 the score. I got home and like I was like, oh man, I hope I hadn't missed the game. I turned it on and it was still in the 6th inning. Ohtani striking out Trout for the game was pretty epic. It was legendary. I think last night was the night that the World Baseball Classic hit the mainstream in a very big way. I guess 97.5% of all Japanese households were tuned in. And, you know, we got a little bit of disappointment from the USA side. We saw Japan celebrate. They earned it. They deserve it. But I think now the challenge is over the next 3 years for USA baseball to get on the same page with MLB and get our pitchers in there.
Yeah.
This feels like 1988 basketball at the Olympics. We've lost. Now it's time to go full dream team on their asses, Brian.
Yeah, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, basically said that afterwards. He's like, all right, we're not going to lose these games anymore. And you're absolutely right. Give Japan a lot of credit the way they played, you know, throughout the tournament and all that. And you know, the way that, they put their best player out there to likely get your best player out as well. So
it worked out perfectly for Japan being able to have Ohtani come up there in the 9th, and we finally got the matchup, Ohtani versus Trout, World Baseball Classic on the line, and striking out swinging there for Mike Trout. The tension, the buildup, it worked out perfectly for baseball and the World Baseball Classic. You couldn't have scripted it any better. The USA had their chances.
Sure,
I mean, they were able to get some leadoff walks, just had runners on, and then would hit into a double play. Just unfortunately got outplayed by Japan last night.
Yeah.
But it was incredible drama to watch.
When Kyle Schwarber took Yu Darvish deep on the 10th pitch of the at-bat, 2 previous foul balls it looked like he'd hit out of the stadium, and he hit that bomb. It left the ballpark in about 2 seconds, upper tank. It was one of those lasers. I was like, oh, these boys are going to – they're seeing Yu Darvish too well. We've seen Yu Darvish have some great games, some horrible games, and I thought that's where they were going to rally and get it done, but they couldn't push any more runners across. Mookie Betts there with the double play ball in the ninth after the walk really hurt. But the legend of Ohtani growing stronger as he slid into second at the end of the inning. He walked out to the bullpen, threw a couple of warm-up pitches, and then comes back in and gets the save. That's pretty epic. The next tournament is 2026. I hope it's not sour grapes, but you know, it to me it feels like we would have got them if our best pitchers had been there. You know, you came up against a team that had three really good pitchers they could throw at you, and we're like, well, we got some guys that are, you know, kind of big leaguers, you know, and there's some nice names in there that had some nice performances. But if you're depending on Adam Wainwright in a pivotal moment in a giant, you know, semifinal or final game, I just think that's not good enough. And now this game has hit a point that it should be a priority instead of I guess we'll try to get it done. But people are paying attention now, and hopefully the American sports consumer demands it. The voice of Eric Nadell, Rangers Hall of Fame announcer, will not be with the team on opening day. That is probably the biggest story around the Rangers here as we sit eight days from opening day. And you know, I guess we're fortunate that we live in a time where when mental health comes up, people feel comfortable enough to say, hey, I need a TO, baby. Okay. I need to call in some reinforcements, get a therapist, get a counselor here on the scene. I'll get back when I can, you know, instead of just living in misery or worse. You know, Eric Nadell's on the front lines there of mental health, and he knows what's on the line, you know, and you don't want to fool with it. So we're glad that Eric Nadell is getting help, and we wish him nothing but the best, and hopefully have him back on here for his Friday hits before too long.
And then you're absolutely right about that, Gavin, but this Rangers broadcast is in capable hands.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for Jared Sandler to get the opportunity to do what he does. Like Hixie's outstanding in as well. I listened to them a bunch together, you know, driving around, you know, the spring training baseball. They have a lot of fun together. Mm-hmm. They kind of get on each other. They make jokes along the way, and they're both really, really good at their job. So if Eric has to step away for a while, this Rangers broadcast is in seriously, seriously good hands.
Well said. And really just thinking about Eric and anyone else out there, you know, that's dealing with any kind of issues, you know, just know you're not alone and you have an outlet to be able to voice those concerns, go get help. You can always reach out to us. That's what we're here for.
Very common. Yeah, very, very common, unfortunately. The star slide continues from atop the conference to second to third. Now an OT loss to the Kraken. They've lost the top spot in the division to Colorado. They'll host the Penguins tomorrow. It's tough, guys.
Yeah, 14th loss they've had in overtime this year. Do a great job. They pull Ottinger twice in the game, one with about 4 minutes to go. They get a goal to get back in it, and then they score the tying goal with 0.7 seconds. Jamie Benn just doing a lot of dirty work in front of the cage there, and they get the goal. And unfortunately, the way that overtimes have been, cycle, missed shot, and now the puck comes to the other end and you give up a goal. Just unfortunate. They've lost 14 overtime games this year.
Yeah.
That's just way, way, way too many.
And the hope is you get, you know, Tyler Seguin back here soon, Marchman as well. But, you know, you haven't gotten the goalie play the last two games. Ten goals in the last two.
Yeah.
Otter's letting some in that I'm sure that he'd love to have back. But yeah, they have. I mean, credit them to at least salvage a point out of that thing. So when they got down 4-2, I'm like, oh, crap, this isn't going well.
Yeah, yeah, it's unfortunate. They're kind of stumbling down the stretch, but there's so much talent on the team. Maybe they just need to get refocused here. There's still enough time to snap into it and go on a great run for us. 817 is a country you can't lose at a game you invented. I feel you on that. And I think, you know, you can accept it if the game truly goes international and you're like, well, you know, the world's as good as us. There's five or six countries as good. We can't feel entitled to a championship. But with baseball, we're not putting our best foot forward. So you don't accept it until, hey, we've lost. Now it's time to increase the availability of players until we're maxed out. And then you say, hey, the other teams are as good as us. But a game you invented, you know, I for anybody that competes, you see them celebrating. You know, for Mike Trout, you lose on a strikeout to close out the game. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, yeah, this wouldn't have happened if we had our absolute best players. And that's what time it is now. You know, you lose a high-profile matchup like that. You see the other team celebrating. It sticks with you. That's what motivates competitive people. And hopefully there's enough competitive people inside USA Baseball to do whatever it takes to talk MLB Baseball into letting us bring home the gold next time.
Well, you know, the game that you're losing to a country, you know, in Japan, I don't think there's any shame with that.
No.
But give the Angels a lot of credit for not shutting down Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. Letting him pitch.
You know, there's Lance Lynn talked about it the other day. You know, he was excited. He was trying to call the White Sox, like, listen, if I have to come close, I want to come close. And, you know, Major League Baseball, one of your member clubs, allowed Japan the opportunity to go win this game by letting one of the best players in all of baseball finish that game last night.
Yeah. And I get it. You know, you're paying so much for these pitchers and they're, but you can limit the risk. You could put a lot of pitchers over there so they're only getting a couple of innings of work. There's smart ways to do this, I feel, and I think we're going to make steps in that direction here over the next 3 years. Mavs and Warriors at the AAC, 6:30 tip-off. Warriors very bad on the road. They have lost 11 of 12, just ended that streak with an ugly win at Houston. Paul George, there's good news on him. It's just a sprain. And he's only going to miss a couple of weeks. Obviously, he had the big injury a few years back playing for Team USA, and he lost an entire year of his NBA season. So, you know, it's not something that you can take lightly, and maybe there's a business component to this that you got to take care of so it makes sense for everybody. But in the present right now, Paul George, massive bullet dodge, not only for him to get injured late in a season like this is a double whammy, but also the Clippers, who are still, you know, holding out hopes they could win the West.
Yeah, but without Kyrie and him, George playing, they're 14-21. Wow. So yeah, that's kind of one of those things. They're trying to play for positioning and seeding and stuff as well. And they, you know, they're 10 to the good when they play together and opposite when they don't.
Okay, the Jets have reached a 1-year deal with wide receiver Mecole Hardman. So that's a loss for the champs. Not an irreplaceable loss. And as we were talking about yesterday, they are amongst the teams that are in on DeAndre Hopkins. So maybe this is a guy leaving the roster and freeing up a position in that wide receiver room for DeAndre.
They got to fill some receiver spots. You lose Juju, you lose Mecole Hardman. And Hardman's a guy that I don't know ever quite developed into the type of player they were hoping that he would. He had some good moments there.
Kind of thought coming out of the draft that he was going to be one of those guys that could be special, and I don't think he ever obtained that type of level.
Especially in that offense.
Okay, he joins Lazard, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore. How close is that to becoming a good wide receiver room?
Like Garrett Wilson, I think, is one of the best young, up-and-coming talents in the league. So, I mean, he's a great one. And to have Lazard as a two, I think, is solid. Elijah Moore might be the
kind of
one that they kind of elevates group.
Exactly.
Okay, Zion has been cleared for activity. He is going to miss 2 more weeks, but that is huge news for the New Orleans Pelicans, as they've had a massive disappointing season after a promising playoff series against the Phoenix Suns last spring. Haven't been able to get Zion healthy, but maybe he is going to be able to play just in time for the playoffs. And I think they're dangerous. I absolutely love their roster. Rory McIlroy amongst the golfers supporting the idea of limits on golf ball distance. They're trying to cut this down. To me, it makes sense. I just don't want to equalize everybody, you know? Can you nerf the golf ball but not create like where everybody's hitting at the same amount? But their big problem is, Brian, they don't want to make these golf courses obsolete, you know, having to take them out to 9,000 yards to contain these guys.
Well, the thing that they can do is they can always play with the greens.
Yeah.
You know, they could always the stint meters, that's the device that reads the green speed.
Yeah.
And we especially notice this in major championships.
Yeah.
That's where – and – you know, a lot of these, and what we might see is we might see some greens get rebuilt to where you put undulation into the green. You know, you go through and all of a sudden, that's the one thing that makes, even though they've increased the length of the course at Augusta, the way they've made the greens, how difficult those greens are to putt, That's the defense that the courses have nowadays.
Undulation. That might be one of my new favorite words.
Undulation?
I'm going to need to incorporate that.
That's a great golf word.
No, you did say it and say it correctly, but I'm a fan of that.
See, but that's where major tournament golf, that's how they can grow rough. And then, if these guys, if they want to hit the ball to certain spots, and that's where, Bryson DeChambeau, that's where we've all kind of talked about him and, he's going to make golf courses obsolete. He can't keep the ball in the fairway. Thus, he can't. He's one of the, when you watch him play live golf, he has no chance. He hits the ball all over the place, and he can't scramble well enough to win in these tournaments. So it's been a problem.
We have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30 here. We'll get some NBA going. Player suspended for making fun of a Mav. That's what's going on, Wilcho.
Well, I can't believe we buried the lead, guys.
You
kidding me?
Cowboys signing
by North Texas Mean Green last night with the victory over Oklahoma State.
You're gonna lose that coach for sure.
Let's go, baby! Tyler Perry with 5 of his 23 in overtime. Get that overtime dub. Moving on in the NIT. Shout out to my Mean Green, baby.
Yeah, congrats on to the semis, right?
Yeah,
that's a big dub. Okay, let's get some NBA. Player suspended for making fun of a Mav is next here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back, Nation. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 8 minutes. We're going to go around the NBA here. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. There is a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck, so companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Frankel and Frankel. Consultations always free. Truckwreck.com. Yeah, Dylan Brooks suspended for taunting the Mavs bench. It's pretty funny. He was doing a cheerleading routine at Theo Pinson, telling him, "You are just a cheerleader. Because you never get in the game." I guess there has been a couple of Theo Pinson appearances this year. Theo said, "Well, I guess I have some headspace in his head," but I thought that was a pretty good burn. The tech was upheld, though, his 18th of the year. They appealed it. The NBA said, "No, you can't do that. Apparently, you can't be making fun of guys on the bench. That's taunting, even if it is funny." So the tech was upheld, and he is going to be suspended one game.
He's not wrong, right? Theo is kind of a cheerleader, right?
Yeah, it would annoy everybody.
Well, when he got into the one game, we saw him, and he balled out. Maybe they should play Theo a little more.
He did. But
I mean, by NBA levels, he's kind of like that that Judd Bushler bench guy who's, waving the towels, and takes it next level.
My era was Bill Whittington.
Oh, is that right?
Bill Whittington is like me. He owns championship rings for not doing very much.
Yeah.
But he is a great towel waver.
Everybody needs one, and Theo might set the standard because he'll troll the hell out of the other team.
Oh, yeah. What he was able to do last year in the playoffs.
He will do it without a uniform on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He will go with a $1,000 T-shirt, jeans, and sneaks.
Well, he wants to match his T-shirt to the other team's jersey color, so they might confuse him for them.
Out-of-bounds pass?
Hey, pass it to me.
Yeah, I think they were getting $50,000 fines last year in the playoffs.
They were. I'm open, Coach. You got me. But the Dylan Brooks stuff is great. Him and Draymond Green, of course, feuding. And you saw after the game with Memphis, like Kyrie kind of snubbed Dylan Brooks when it came to taking his jersey. So Draymond's doing his show. And I think he was doing, it might have been on Twitch or somebody comments and wants to know about Dylan Brooks and the Kyrie Irving jersey deal. Here's Draymond's response. And I'm asking this question. Does this go into our all-time laugh bracket? Listen to Draymond here.
By the way, Jackson wanted me to talk about Kyrie not taking Dylan Brooks' jersey. Wow.
Get him.
Pretty good laugh.
That's good.
I think he could have taken it to the next level and went full like evil. Because that, that's the thing is, Dylan Brooks tries to flip back immediately after the game to being cool guy. And it's like, you troll that hard, nobody liking you is a real thing.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You don't just get to change now if the game is over and say, hey, it was all in good fun, right?
It was the weird, like, he's trolling Luka, he's trolling the Mavs. Kyrie has to come over and ended up getting in a shouting match with them in one of the games earlier as well. And then afterwards, he's like, no, bro, let's exchange jerseys. I loved Kyrie. And by the way, Kyrie also... another act of charity, which goes underreported when it comes to Kyrie Irving, but he just made a huge donation to a pair of families following a car accident. He donated $38,000 to the families of two UNT master students who were involved in a fatal accident earlier this month. So shout out to Kyrie.
Yeah, he's the best, man. He really is. There's so much cool stuff about him that's, I think, underreported, maybe underappreciated.
Did he say he was going to catch Brooks the next time around?
But you know he's not.
They're not playing each other,
like,
right?
I'm going to kill playing. You with Kai. I'll get you back, buddy.
I'll get you back next time. I don't think he's ever going to get a jersey from that guy.
Why would I want Dylan Brooks' jersey if you're Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
You're not on my level, man.
The NBA has recently demoted Ben Taylor in his assignments, per Tom Haberstroh, the ref that Van Vleet went after for saying he was just out there trying to be a Richard. Van Vleet, the former G-Bag of the Day champion, I believe 3 or 4 days, maybe 5. Maybe Van Vleet went 5, I'm not quite sure, but he tore him and other officials up pretty good. And the NBA agreed. This D-bag ref, Ben Taylor, he's getting less assignments these days.
Good. Well, let me ask
he's
you
like
this.
A backup ref now.
Okay, if you're like the league, if you're like, do you feel like if you're an official that works with Ben Taylor, are you kind of like agreeing with them? Or are you like, man, league's being a little too harsh on our brother Ben?
No, I think they probably know how bad Ben is because if a player goes after a ref, and
calls
the NBA
him out by name.
Yeah, the NBA is not supporting this guy. They're like, actually, hit. They're right.
Yeah.
That takes a lot because that ref union is strong. And
that's what I'm saying.
That's like a Sean Hockley thing.
I think they should refund Van Vliet's fine as well, $30,000. He's doing their job for him. You know.
I just wonder if other officials are looking at the league and that union you're talking about and going, man, we can't let them get away with this. They called out one of our guys.
Mm. Well, they need to hush because they got a bad one in their ranks.
I hope it has the reverse reaction. Like, hey, we don't want that to be us. We need to make sure we're holding ourselves accountable and we need to do a better damn job. I think they should do this in all sports.
I wonder if you ask the officials around basketball, hey, Ben Taylor any good? I wonder how many answers you would get.
Off the record, they'd tear his ass up.
Great. You think so?
Yeah. Send him back to the NAIA is what you'd hear. Yeah. They know. They know that these guys aren't any good. They know whose ego gets out of the way because a lot of times in sports, you can see the refs get annoyed with the other refs' calls, and they're like getting to an ego tit-for-tat battle on who's going to control the game, especially in basketball when you got two or three running around. Okay, reward offered for details in the death of a former Mavs dad. Yeah, Richard Jefferson's dad. I didn't hear this story originally back in 2018, but the LA County Sheriff's Office is announcing a $20,000 reward for info leading to the arrest and the conviction. The killing was back in 2018. Richard Jefferson Sr. was 65 years old, chatting with a group of people, 1400 block of Paulson Avenue in L.A., and one gunman opened fire from a vehicle, according to sheriff's officials, and Jefferson was an innocent bystander. Mm-hmm. Investigators said they believe the shooter or shooters were gang members who thought Jefferson belonged to a rival gang. So $20,000 reward. Neither Jefferson nor the people he was speaking with had ever been involved in any activity. Tough story there for Richard Jefferson, who had a great career, 18 years, played with the Mavs, and now he's doing a hell of a job broadcasting. You know, speaking of dads and Kyrie Irving, saw this thing on social over the weekend. I didn't know his dad was really great at Baylor, almost had an NBA career, ends up playing international. And that's why Kyrie kind of grew up outside of the U.S. at times, Australian stuff. But then they moved to New Jersey. He's getting recruited. And he shows up in Coach K's office at Duke. And I don't know whether this was 2009 or 2010 or something like that. And Coach K's like, hey, come on over. I got something for you to watch on TV. And it is Kyrie's dad. No, it's not Baylor. It was Boston University. Wrong BU. Giving Duke buckets. Back in the day in some, you know, I don't know if it was an ACC game or if Boston was in there or if it was a tournament game or a preseason game or something like that. That is how Kyrie Irving ended up going to Duke because he's like, man, this guy has such respect and admiration for my dad and an incredible basketball memory to be able to go back and be like, boom, this is the last time I remember competing against the Irving family, and this is exactly what we want to bring to Duke. Little quick side story there that's jogged my memory. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Here's Lucius Alexander.
Yeah! From one story to Kyrie to another Kyrie. It's me. Let's see here what we got. G-Bag of the Day, our champion, is God doing his blessings. Just doing his blessings. God will make a way out of no way. Yeah, if you have groceries on deck and they're not going to make it to the end of the week, God can be a meat stretcher. Yes, he can.
Look at your neighbor and say, he's a meat stretcher. He'll stretch your meat. Hallelujah.
Yeah, okay, that's the name of the shirts. I figured it out. Meat stretcher shirts.
Meat stretcher.
Meat stretcher.
Meat stretcher, okay.
Maybe not.
Meat stretcher.
No, I thought it would be a better. And this one right here, take him to church. I don't want to go to hell. Hell no is the song.
I don't want to go to hell. Hell no.
Hell no.
I don't want to go to hell. Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no. Hell no. Hell, hell no. Hell no. I don't want to go to hell. Hell no. Oh, that's why I want to see my king.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Shoot your ball.
Shoot your ball.
It's a two-time champ, right? Looking for three right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me get some road music for you boys real quick.
Maybe a promo, too, if you do ever miss the G-Bag of the Day. Lucius replays the champ for you every night about 5:40.
All right, I got some clips that I need to just drop off on you boys before I get out of here. I've been sitting on this one.
Who's filling in for you?
Joey, I believe.
Okay.
You probably have a whole hodgepodge of producers coming through.
Do you think they can
try
cover
out for
LA
the
Live?
Position? Well, I mean, I don't know. That's all on you.
They can try.
That's on you, buddy.
Might be
everybody
a train
has
wreck.
Their own segments. Yeah, you know, they can do their own things.
Might it be Ask G-Bag Nation kind of thing.
It's an awful important time slot.
It is.
To leave
it's
up
huge.
The chance.
Yeah. It's huge. Yeah.
Maybe we'll let him try out in the 240, you know, Brian?
I'd say. Yeah, we can give it a go.
Yeah.
We can give it a go.
Sorry.
Not what? Yeah, I'm grooving, bro. I got that Georgie Porgy right here, little Toto, fam. Little Toto coming at you live on 105.3 The Fan. It's not the let's see. How about, I was talking about Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Talking about he used to shower in his uniform.
He did.
Okay, Charles Barkley is not the G-bag of the day, but it's Ernie Johnson in this clip, okay?
Yes. All right. I'm so old. We used to take a shower in our uniforms because, you know, because we flew commercial my first few
Wait,
years.
Wait, time out. There's no era where you did.
Yes, it is.
Stop, you're making this up.
No, I'm not.
There's no way that you were supposed to wash your uniform with your own.
When I first...
You're making this up. I'm not making this up.
Let him finish.
No. I've never heard no one in the right mind has ever done
let
that.
Let him finish, Kenny.
Please
do.
And soap. They give you soap.
Let him finish, Kenny.
When I first got to the NBA, we flew commercial.
Yes,
I'm not disagreeing with you.
So when
that's
you played the night before and flew the next morning, when was you exactly going to get your uniform clean? You had to wash your uniform yourself. So after the game, when you got to your room, you took a shower in your uniform and dried it and dropped on the commercial airline the next morning.
Who are you with, Jed Clampett?
Jed Clampett.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that. I was thinking at the arena he was showering in his jersey.
Yeah.
This was back at the hotel.
Yeah.
That's gross.
That's weird.
That's gross. I'm still showering in a jersey. I think that's cap. I think it's a whole lot of cap.
Probably.
Cappuccino right there. King Captain. Let's go to Coach Tom Izzo right here.
Oh, my God.
A little March Madness clip. This is a little old, but it's all good. I'm going to get it off my books. He was pocket watching one of his players after the win.
Before our guys.
I know you want to watch him celebrate, but I have to ask about Tyson Walker. You go into the transfer portal and get a kid from New York City. How tough was he tonight?
Well, we're going home. And the first, I told him two things. You get me there, I want a cab ride and one of them big slices of pizza. So that's what Tyson owes me. He can pay for it with his NIL money.
He knew.
I can't watch it, bro.
Yeah.
Players are taking coaches out now.
Yeah, guy makes more than Tom up there. Probably,
probably does.
10 years ago, that would have been a firestorm, that little quote right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Investigations and everything.
He can pay for it.
Yeah.
Coach is suspended.
It's crazy. Let's see. Broadcasting while watching live sports. This is Kevin Gray last night on the Get Right.
Oh.
The Stars scored. It was a fantastic goal. I thought they were going to win, but that
Me
overtime
too.
Was so, ugh. Anyway, here's that goal.
Ruben Portillo holding it down for you here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station 105.3 The Fan. Really appreciate you joining us on Odyssey and the Odyssey app, the truckraid.com text line 877. And Stars tie it with 0.7 seconds left.
Good for KG.
I mean, he was watching it the whole time while he was talking, bro.
He had that eye. He had that left eye.
The Odyssey app, the truckraid.com, text line 877. And go!
You said he had two different eyes going different places?
Oh, he was like looking at Ruben. He had that left eye looking up at that screen. Right. I know what he was doing.
Like, yeah.
Terry Frennery. Frennery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had a moment where he completely teased the wrong segment. They started doing it around the NFL, and then
that happens.
He just stopped it. He just, like, the music's going and everything.
Like Bassick with a live read.
I'm sorry, this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. They just went back to talking about Mavericks.
Greatest moment since Hagee called the USA goal live during the World Cup. Remember that?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Your broadcast of the finish of the Daytona 500 was pretty good.
Oh, Ryan Newman going inverted.
Yeah, when they were wrecking. Oh, that was pretty good, too. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Was that your first show?
No, but it was
one of your first,
it
wasn't
was it? One of the early ones, sure was.
Hey, you know that Bad Girls Club music that they took on TikTok, and now like you can rant to it? We played it, that rant music? Oh. Yeah. There's a little girl right here. I played this for Dawson. I think Dawson might like this one. Mm-hmm. Listen to this.
My mom?
Matter of fact, the CEO of TikTok doesn't let his kids on TikTok. You know that, right?
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah. No, they don't. And I think this is why right here.
My mom's always like, do it again and I'll take your tablet away. Do it, Mom. Take my tablet away. What are you going to do? Entertain me and play dolls with me?
That is good.
Burns. Do it, Mom. Burns.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, man. That's it for me.
Girl getting her tablet threatened.
Oh, do it, Mom. Bro. Take my tablet away.
I'm going to get another coffee.
Yeah, that's it. Get some coffee. What do you got
coffee,
going?
Bro. Oh, my God.
We got a two-time champ, the church combo platter. Maybe three. I'm not sure. Charles Barkley lying about showering in his uniform. Ernie made fun of him. Coach Tom Izzo pocket watching Tyson Walker.
We did, I swear. Right after the basketball game.
KG was broadcasted and watching live sports, and a girl got her tablet threatened. I'm gonna vote for that, Lucius. You know me well.
Church.
Champ there. We're tied at one. Wolchuk.
I'll go with Chuck.
We're tied at one, Brian.
Church.
By a score of 2-1, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's the Church Combo Platter. Tune in tonight, 5:40 for LA Live. It'll be Lucius's last segment before an extended 4-day weekend.
It's my roll music right here. It's from the playlist of the roll music.
Nice.
Ooh, I'll be in there singing, bro. Too. Yeah.
Okay, Brian, where are we headed with Krusty's Corner?
I'm going to give you the tiers of these draft picks and where they might go. We'll talk about that next.
Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bank Nation here on The Fan. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Wolchuk has your NFL news of the day. Right now, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. What was I going to say? Oh, really enjoyed doing the draft show with you this morning, Zachary.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Good job. We had a Bobby, Zach, Aisha Morrison, Kyle Yeoman's on. Go back and give that thing a listen after you listen to our show today. If you're out there working out or something like that, hour-long little podcast for you to kind of kicked it around a little bit. We had a discussion about guys that you would or would not draft. And so there's several names for the Cowboys. And we always try and kind of talk about these guys and who that, you know, and I thought it was a really good discussion because I tried to put these guys in some tough spots of who they would and who they would not take.
Sounds like a good podcast over there.
We're trying. We're trying. And then Bobby and I've got, I think Bobby and I are taping Love of the Star tonight. So if you want to get questions to me as well. So anyway, okay. I mentioned that, and I always try and tie the draft coverage and stuff into what the Cowboys are doing. And this comes from Charles McDonald at Yahoo Sports. And he put the tiers, or like the tier of where certain players, and he gave the name to each tier. And what I want to do is I want to go through the tier, but I want to go through the name that the Cowboys could potentially end up with.
Let's do it. I love tiering.
Okay. I don't want to cry tier. No tears.
No, it won't be the
no
salty
tears.
Ones. No.
But Charles runs through three different tiers of players that for these college players. And it's off his top 50 list. So he's got 50 players, but I'm going to make it Cowboys specific of guys that potentially could be there for the Cowboys. And I'll tell you what tier, and we can kind of talk him through a little bit. His number one tier that he has, Charles McDonald from Yahoo, tier number one, franchise cornerstone players.
I'll take one.
Okay. At number five, Texas running back Bijan Robinson.
Oh.
Is his fifth player in this group. And that is has listed as the franchise cornerstone type of player. So we've talked a bunch about Robinson. Why not? You know, and that's one of those things. I'd be real interested if the Cowboys actually did that. I'd be interested if he actually did get to the Cowboys, but if there's a possibility there, I'm fascinated to see if they would do it or not. There's a side of me that they have drafted the best guy on their board. I think the player would be the best guy on their board. So I don't.
It'd be hard for him not to be, man.
Yeah. That's the only reason. If he is their best player on their board when they get to 26, then I could see them taking him.
What do you think I said about the running back last night?
I don't disagree with you. I really don't.
The average running back gives you 90% of what the best running back does. So if he's the best player on the board, I respect your scoring system and the traits that he has and the plays that he makes.
Yeah.
But I would have a different system.
Yeah, see...
I would adjust the system.
Yeah, they're
go on, Mom. Take Bijan Robinson.
That's where I think that to me that's why I don't. They might not do it.
Yeah,
there might be some adjustments to what you're talking about. It's the only thing about I would fight for the kid, but I would understand if they went another direction. I really would. My argument would be, guys. If he's the best player on the board, then we shouldn't have put him up there.
Yeah.
Why even have a guy up there?
Why have him in that spot? I think I always said this about draft boards. Don't window dress your board. If you're putting quarterbacks up there just because they're quarterbacks and you're like, oh, no, this guy, well, the league tells me that this Will Levis is a top 10 quarterback and you put him there in the top 10, but you really don't believe that. That's window dressing your board. Because what happens if Will Levis falls out of the top 10 and now he's sitting there looking at you at 26?
You going to take him?
Let me ask you this, and I'll ask you this question. Would you rather take a quarterback like Will Levis at 26 or Bijan Robinson?
Oh, a quarterback, absolutely.
Okay, so you would have no problem then if Will Levis or Richardson or one of those guys, if you graded him in the first round, you would have no problem. If he got to 26, drafting him there.
I would love that. You know, we don't know how Dak's negotiation is going to go. And if we can get this guy in a game or two, and Dak usually misses a game or two, and he plays well, now we have the kind of trade chip. You know,
or your starter.
Yeah, the value there is just insane. And I'm just worried about running backs getting hurt. You know, I'm trying to solve the running game with two or three different guys.
Oh, no.
Not one guy I rely on every Sunday.
See, that's with Robinson and Pollard. I mean, you'd have... They would have these stories about, oh, what a combination of backs, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, he could immediately be your best offensive player.
He could. He very well could. All right, that's the one guy that the Cowboys could be associated with. Tier two is early starters, attainable Pro Bowl upside.
Okay.
Okay? TCU wide receiver, Quentin Johnston.
Like it?
I'd love that pick. Yeah.
Minnesota center, John Michael Smits, who is a favorite of Wolchuk's. Who could play guard, could play center, really a mobile, athletic guy.
Love him. He's my favorite lineman, period, in the entire draft.
Number 17 would be edge rusher Lucas Van Ness. We talked about Dan Quinn and those guys going to work out. He was a player we had on the show today that was why or why not, and it seemed like there was more than why on him. Georgia tight end, and this is he's the number 20th on McDonald's list, is Georgia tight end Darnell Washington, the 6'7", 264-pound tight end from Georgia, as a tier two early starter, attainable Pro Bowl upside.
Is he going to crush in the run game?
Yeah.
He's a tackle that's tight end.
As a blocker.
You know, like Kyle actually asked us on the draft show today, out of these guys, who's going to help your run game the most? And he started naming running backs, and eventually he got to Darnell Washington, but immediately I thought, at 26, if you really want to help your running game and you want a tight end, maybe that's the guy you pick, because he moves people, he's an outstanding blocker, but he's also kind of just a freak athlete with his size that he is intriguing as a pass-catching option. He ran well. He doesn't look fast when you watch him. He's kind of a lumbering guy.
He's a 270-pound guy that runs okay, but when you look at like his testing numbers when it comes to lateral stuff, it's one of the short shuttle, the 20-yard shuttle. He's like a 4.04, which is almost
the combo.
It's like defensive back shuttle is for a man that's 264 pounds. Okay, another guy that's kind of always tagged to the Cowboys is Osiris Torrance, the guard from Florida. He's number 21. Number 29, here's a guy that I think the Cowboys really, really do like, and this could be the pick. And this could be a guard-center combination. Steve Avila from TCU, 6'4", 332 pounds. Man, if you're going to play Tyler Smith at left tackle and don't even think about it, this is probably the guy you want to take at 26.
It's a great year to need a left guard who could also transition to center in 1 year.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's two of them that are going to be around.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's awesome.
Okay, now we're to tier three as we finish this thing up. These are solid starters, rotational players, realistic developmental projects. Muzzie Smith, from Michigan
D-tackle.
Defensive tackle. We talked about him a bunch. Arkansas linebacker Drew Sanders, mm-hmm. probably the best linebacker in the draft. Pittsburgh's Kalijah Kancey, the defensive tackle. And this is when we get into Dalton Kincaid. Ooh. He has him as a solid starter, rotational player, realistic developmental project. Would you, as what you've seen at him, would you argue that more that he could be possibly a tier two guy?
Yeah, I would argue that I would put him above Washington.
That's what I'm saying. I would flip these two. I would flip Washington and what you get with Kincaid. Cam Smith is on this list, the cornerback from South Carolina at number 40. And then you've got a couple of safeties with Christopher Smith from Georgia, Jordan Battle from Alabama. All right, how about Jalin Hyatt?
I love Jalin Hyatt. Wide receiver out of Tennessee. He's my number two wide receiver. You watch Jalin Hyatt, and he's just making plays down the field. He's a guy that he ran like a 4.4 40, so it doesn't seem like he's a burner, but you watch the tape, and he runs by people. It's very hard for safeties to be able to keep up with him. Big play threat, playmaker. To me, I thought he caught everything thrown his way. I'm a big fan of Jalin
Hyatt. Would you consider him a two?
I'd move him up, too. Yeah.
I would, too. And the final one is Jack Campbell, the linebacker from Iowa.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner, every afternoon, 2:40 here on The Fan. Okay, NFL news of the daytime is coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are we headed with that?
Well, we've got a couple Cowboys signings, one re-signing and a new signing to tell you about, and a trade was just made next on The Fan.